Want to talk a little bit tonight about the oneness of trusting God and trusting yourself. And I know it's going to be a stretch for some because we're really trained in this world to think we don't have any power and all the authority is outside of us. We're trained not to listen to ourselves. We're trained to listen to others, you know, the experts, whether medical experts, you know, whether legal experts, whether they're, you know, professional experts of all kinds. That we're trained that way, and it's really a symptom of our basic feeling that seems to come with this territory and these karmic fields on this planet of being powerless. That there's nothing inside of us, so why listen? There's nothing there. And also, in my working with people, I've discovered that there are many people walking around who are literally walking around outside of themselves. They're outside of themselves. And the common denominator of that is they're so busy manipulating people to get a result. Let me give you, for instance, if you're afraid this relationship isn't going to last and you think you really won't be able to survive without the other person, you're going to do things to get that other person to stay. So immediately you're outside yourself. And how that works spiritually is you have a line of energy from around your midsection, from around your navel, that pulls you out. There's a line of energy that goes out to that other person, and you're always being pulled out. And you keep doing this and doing this and doing this, and you wind up shut out of yourself, literally exterior to yourself. And that's why so many of us think our own thoughts, our own feelings are foreign. You know, it comes upon us. You know, or we get these diseases, and these diseases are outside ourselves, and we have to go and fight them, you know, like with an army of whatever we're going to use, and battle these diseases, you know? And also how we see ourselves just in brief in this world, at least in the Western world, is we're one being isolated against the world, against the environment. And so we're alone. Okay? And nothing can be farther from the truth. You know, I've told the story of the sort of an old spiritual joke of when God created the soul, how it was decided where it would be put. And at first, it was thought the best place to put it would be at the bottom of the deepest ocean. And then it was finally realized by the sages that, hey, it would be found. And then they decided to put it at the top of the highest mountain. And once again, it was realized it would be found. So then after a period of 400,000 years of deep meditation, a sage came up with the bright idea of, hey, I got it. We'll put it inside of them. They'll never think to look there. You know, and there's a lot of truth to that. We don't think that it's inside of us, and it's all inside of us. And all that we need is present inside of us. Okay? And we think that we have no access to whatever you want to call it, the Lord God, the Spirit, whatever, and that we're here adrift and alone. So what is there inside? You know, and I always have a similar reaction whenever I see somebody jogging or, you know, working out and they're listening to headphones, I go, gosh, I would relish the opportunity to be away from the outer world and just listen to myself. But then I realize there's no training for that. We're not trained that way until we decide to do that. And many of us walk around in lack and limitation and hurt and fear and pain. And when we do that, we respond reactively from what's called the reactive mind, and we lash out many a time. And a nice thing for us to do is, at that moment, just say, wait a second, I'm not going to respond from that place inside of me, okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the Lord God, or I'm going to ask the light of the Most High to give me clarity and guidance, or to direct me, see? And that begins a really nice step. That's the first step in going, okay, I can acknowledge that I may not be in my center, living the truth of who I am. So I'm going to respond to the call and ask God to do that, okay? But I'm going to be a co-creator. See, and let me issue a caveat. It's not like, oh, God's in the heaven and, you know, I'll ask my clergyman to intervene, or I'll ask the saints, or any of that kind of stuff, okay? That's not it. That's just another symptom of a powerlessness, see? Because that stuff couldn't be created unless it was inside of us. You know, I know in my own training I've been tempted many times to go and ask an intermediary, you know? And the response was always the same, you know? Why bother when you can go directly to the Lord God? And that's true. We all have that ability. That's a gift that we're given because it's part of who we are. You know, you don't have to be Buddhist, Christian, Jewish, religious, have money, be white, green, blue, black, purple, tan. It comes with the soul, and that soul is in us. Okay, but we've lost that ability to know ourselves. You know, and part of the job of a prophet, I guess, is to say, hey, we've gotten so far off course, you know, what the hell are you doing? And usually there's a big, you know, ranting and a raving and a screaming, and some of the population sort of adopts to a more nearly proper way of doing things, and then after a while it's forgotten and everybody sort of reverts back to how it all was, which was all over the place. Okay? And, you know, God's got patience. He's got all the patience in the world, and that's called reincarnation. He gives us all the opportunities to be acknowledged amongst ourselves and with ourselves that, hey, yeah, wait a second now. I've spent lifetime after lifetime, or at least this lifetime, frustrated as hell. And why am I frustrated? Because I'm looking outside for the answer or for the satisfaction, and it's not there. It ain't there. You see, and that's a real blessed moment. That starts the ball rolling. That starts the looking inward to yourself and using yourself as a resource. You know, and I have a really dear friend who was in the process of changing her life. And I suggested that she go and ask God for help and for guidance. And she responded as only she could, oh no, I can't do that. Okay, I have to be independent. In other words, I have to be strong, and I can't be weak. And somehow it was connected with losing her individuality, and some power outside herself would guide her. Well, this ain't ET, you know? It's not a foreign substance. The substance is in us, and it's the same substance as the Lord God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know, it's fascinating to me that someone demonstrated the truth, okay, the Christ Jesus, and then before you know it, a whole religion happened that had nothing to do with anything, okay? And then you get the worship of the messenger. And mankind, in its own wonderful way, immediately did what it always did. made the spirit or the power outside itself, so that there was this man in time and space who existed, and let's venerate him. Well, but you see, that's abdicating our responsibility. Because our responsibility is that it's inside. You know, and if you listen to the teachings, it said that which is in me is in you, and even greater. He's talking about the Christed consciousness, or the mind, or the consciousness that's one and the same with the Lord God. So there you have it. You have the directive. It's in you, folks. You know, don't waste your time worshiping me, because what's in you is even far more. Okay? I'm just showing you that it's here. I'm like waving the red flag, going, hey, it's here, folks. This is it. Okay? This attunement to God and to the soul and to the spirit that you are and to the knowledge. Okay? And of course, no sooner was that put out than right away we didn't want to hear that. And we down vibrated the whole thing into a religion that has nothing to do with anything. You know? I mean, there's some lovely symbols and there's some lovely pointing the ways, but the connection's been lost. You know, the connection between, let's say, like the Holy Communion and what it really says, so that the Holy Communion becomes the it of itself. You know, it's like going into a restaurant and eating the menu. Because you're missing what's behind it. You're eating the symbol. You're taking the symbol as the whole thing. It doesn't work, you know? And the Holy Communion is the communion inside of us with the spirit that we are. And the bread and the wine is the bread of life, the staff of life. You know, the Holy Spirit or the sound current. Doesn't matter what you call it, doesn't matter the approach, it doesn't matter if you're a Sikh or a Buddhist or a Jew or whatever. Okay, the sound current is the sound current. See? And the soul in its embodiments goes through all these religions because there's a training in each of them. Okay? Until it is at a point where it can go beyond all ideation, all concepts, and where it can know God directly. Because that's our right. And, you know, so many of us, we let go and we let God. But what we do is we let go and we let God, and we keep our own agenda. Oh, it'll be in my time and my way. And then we get all annoyed when it doesn't happen and God's not with us or he's against us. You know, and we're not trusting God. Or we distort things and think that God's time means an eternity and it's not going to happen. See, but that denies an essential truth. And that truth is that everything throughout all of the spiritual worlds is entirely present right here, right now. And that we have access to it. Yeah, the gift of initiation gives us that access. And everyone sooner or later will take initiation in some embodiment because that's the plan. Is it my plan? I'm not that smart. It's God's plan. There is a way that he set up to go home, you see? Now, if that is true, then how are you going to get home if it ain't inside of you? What are you going to do? Just manage to knock on the right door out there or go to the right church or you'll have the right priest or you'll have the right, you know, imam or sheikh or rabbi or something like that, you know, or you'll have the right, you know, philosophical belief, you know, and that'll do it, you know? You know, it doesn't work like that. You trust God because he's inside of you. And because the karma's upon us, yeah, we think it's outside, etc., etc. But even if we do nothing else than be an active co-creator with God, we've taken a big step. We've taken a really big step. Okay, let me give you a for instance. Okay. I wanted to create having an escape from the city because I knew that if I stayed in the city all year long, eventually I'd be in jail for murder. I mean, it was inevitable. Okay. I didn't know how, you know, it was going to happen. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know where, basically, you know. And I asked God for it. And sure enough, we got led right to it. I mean, even to the point where the sales agent asked if he could see this property while we were with him in order to list it and would we mind tagging along. Well, that's the place that wound up being ours. Okay, so what I did in this process was I trusted God to know more than I did and to create. See? And in his time and his way, you know, and if you're sitting here wondering, well, how come I do that and it doesn't happen for me, is watch your thoughts, watch what you're running, you know, and God's not going to make a liar out of you. So if you've got another program, if your script is, you know, life sucks and it's hard and I never get what I want, don't expect God to give it to you. And it's kind of neat because the place has worked out very nice. Plus, I'm not in jail for murder, you know, which I think is very, very nice, you know. And okay, but this was really, you see, there's choice. There was a choice involved, okay? And that choice was to know that I could be a co-creator with God, that I became responsible for that knowledge, and that I asked God, the spirit inside of me, the great spirit, the great oversoul, to just guide that. And we were led right to it. It was orchestrated so beautifully that we didn't have to do anything. See, other than that one thing of asking God, turning to God, you know, and many people, after they've talked with me and they sort of come to understand, okay, I'll put it in the light of the Most High, or I'll ask God, then they always say, okay, now tell me, what do I really need to do? Okay, because the mind is so busy doing what the mind does that it thinks it has to do something in this world. But you've forgotten that you've done that. You've exercised the greatest responsibility there is, which is your spirit. And you've exercised that. And trusting yourself and trusting God enough to know that and to do that. See? Reminds me once of somebody came into a workshop and actually really kind of ornery lady, you know, and she was working the crowd, you know, and then she came to me and she said, well, why should I trust you? And I said, there's no reason you should trust me. You don't have to trust me at all. All you have to do is trust yourself. Well, that had never occurred to her. See, and what she was doing is what so many of us do. We look outside and say, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. Instead of going inside and working with the Lord God. See, and it's real interesting that the reason for our embodiments is we've exercised our free will, in contradistinction to God's will for for us. And when we lift as a soul and come to know ourselves as soul, then we know that our will and God's will are one and the same. So that God and us, we're the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word is what the soul is made out of, the sound current, or the spirit, whatever you want to call it. That's us, and that's God. God is the great spirit, or the great oversoul. It's the same material. We're the same. You know, man is created in God's image. Well, hell, I hope he's not as ugly as some of us are, you know, and has better personalities. But that's not what's meant, you know? We're created in his image means that we are of that same material, that same spirit. See? And when the Christ Jesus demonstrated what he demonstrated, that's what he was telling us. You know, when he said, I go to the Father and prepare a place for you, you're welcome at the feet of the Lord God. You're welcome there. Because you're his kids. Well, if you're his kids, guess what? You're the same genetically, you know, spiritually. Spiritual genetics, the one and the same. You're the same. So he's prepared a place. The consciousness is prepared. And what is it prepared to do? But it is prepared to be at the same vibratory frequency as God, or to be God. Okay? And I say all this is kind of a backdrop for the simple point that if that's our focus as souls, then God is within us. So when we trust God, we're really trusting ourselves. And when we trust ourselves, we're really trusting God. And sometimes, yeah, you got to be strong to trust yourself. You know, it's kind of like at the end of this year, everybody's going to go and celebrate the millennium. But it's not the millennium. But everybody's going to go celebrate, okay? But we have to have the strength of our own beingness. And yeah, you may be the only one. It may be you and God, you know? It's not that bad, but in the extreme, it may feel like that. And you need to have the courage of that. See, because everybody's caught in the mirrors, in the funhouse. Or in the karma, you can't tell what's real. You don't know what's real. You can't tell. The only way to tell is to go up into the soul body and the spirit above all the negative worlds, or above the senses, above the thoughts and the feelings and the unconscious, and where they vibrate in the inner worlds. And then you're in the pure worlds of spirit. But when you're there and you can hold that, you've broken the bonds of reincarnation, or you've entered eternal life. That's our gift. That's a given. You're not going to go to God when you die. You weren't with God when you were in the body. Why the hell should you go to God when you die? I mean, be realistic, you know? Be realistic, okay? And God in his mercy, what does he do? Okay? He says, that's okay. Take some more time to get to know yourself. Take some more time. And he gives us embodiment after embodiment after embodiment. See? And, you know, a nice sign of his compassion is that there's always a soul. That can take other souls to the great soul. Because God is always extending his hand. And that all a soul has to do is say, hey, God, when it turns inside itself and say, hey, this whole thing beats me, help me. I don't know what to do, help me. Okay, and before you know it, that soul is helped. Okay, but it takes the responsibility of even owning up to not knowing. Of owning up to, hey, I've run into so many walls. I'm tired and I'm battered, Lord. You know, help me. And God extends his hand. See, the neat thing is that God is active in this world. And if you think that's not so, see if you can breathe on your own. See if you can actually breathe on your own, okay, without the mechanisms of your consciousness being involved. Because when the soul withdraws, you'll be dead. You'll be dead at most, what, half hour, 40 minutes, you're gone, goodbye. Another time around, bingo, hey, that was fun, let's do it again, and we go do it again, okay? So you can't animate yourself. So there's something animating us. And that is the spirit that we are. You know, and it's inside of us. You know, and when a baby's born, generally that soul enters the body on the first, you know, slap, basically. And I've even worked with people who have no idea why every time they see a doctor or hear a doctor's name or something, have this incredible amount of anger, and they don't know where it comes from. And it comes from this recall of getting slapped, you know? So that nothing escapes us. Nothing escapes us. And we're responsible for all those creations. A little kid wanting to be a fireman, that's a creation, you know? All our thoughts, all our feelings, or our emotions, there are creations, okay? And the best way to work it is to be a conscious co-creator with the Lord God. Not for your program, not for your agenda, but for His. And if you're honest with yourself, if you can trust God, you'll wind up trusting yourself because you realize His agenda is really your agenda, and vice versa. Okay? And I'd like to conclude by having you do just a little process. So why don't you all get nice and quiet, if you'd uncross your arms or your legs, okay, and just take a moment and inside yourself say, Lord God or Spirit, however you want to address it. And then pick something that you don't know what to do about it. And just say, give me clarity and guidance on whatever that is. Okay. And now let it go. And rest in the knowing that you've been heard and you'll be responded to. It may be in a dream, it may be in a passing remark, it may be in an intuitive flash, whatever. But you've been heard. See, and just the fact that you did that starts an alignment process, starts an attunement process with God inside of you, and you start to pay attention to that vibratory frequency called God or your soul. You start to pay attention, see? And then as you keep working it and working it, your reference points start to be more inside yourself. And by that I don't mean in a narcissistic personality way or anything else like that, or an introverted way. Talking about the reality of the spirit inside of you, and you get to work actively with yourself as the creator. And that's pretty neat. And when I'm honest and I'm going through one of these I'm not going to give God the time of day things, what I'm really doing is I'm not giving myself the time of day. And I have a judgment on myself. Sometimes it'll take me a while to get to because it's projected outward. Anything that's unconscious, we project outward. And what better target than God, you know? God didn't give me what I want, didn't, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm furious at that guy. And if you're honest, you realize that you're not giving yourself what you need to. And that's God, and from God all things flow. And if you could take just that one bit of learning, from the Lord God all things flow. And if you think it only has to do with the spiritual reality and not this world, then you don't know this world. You're just going with the appearances of this world. All things come from God. And you might want to work your world. You might want to do some experiments and see if what you need in this world, you can be a conscious co-creator with the Lord God. And say, Lord God, I need another apartment, or I need another job, okay? But then don't play the game when the response comes of doing it your way. And then going, how come God doesn't hear me? Well, because you haven't heard him and you flip-flopped it. You know? So that'll be your homework. I'm going to pull rank and give you a nice homework assignment or a house play. Pick three things that you'd like to have in your life. And it can be material things or it can be non-material. For example, feeling more calm or less anxious or feeling better about yourself. And asking the Lord God to give that to you. And then just receive. And just live in the knowing that you've been heard, that you need to allow it, and to trust the part of you that knows that that is the way to live. And we'll stop with that.